Issues Etc. Reformation Week begins on October 24th. 5 days of Reformation-themed programs with some of your favorite guests. And here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Reformation Week bulletin insert. We have 4 different bulletin inserts, one for each time zone. Issues Etc. Reformation Week.
Folks, you still have 18 days to share the Issues Etc. Reformation Week video with your Facebook friends and get an opportunity to win the Essential Lutheran Library. This is 9 books, including Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions, C.F.W. Walther's Law and Gospel, Lutheran Service Book, Luther's Small Catechism, and the Treasury of Daily Prayer, and more, a $500 value right there. An opportunity to win the Essential Lutheran Library just for sharing the Issues Etc. Reformation Week video at your Facebook page. Now, you can find this video at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support right down there in the middle of the page. The Issues Etc. Reformation Week video. Sharing it helps promote Issues Etc. Reformation Week, tells people about the guests and the topics that are coming up, and gives you an opportunity to win the Essential Lutheran Library. We will actually decide who wins on October 28th and announce it during the program. When you've shared the video, send us an email to let us know that you did. Contest at issuesetc.org. Contest at issuesetc.org. For someone to give something away, they have to have first received that thing, right? So for a pastor to give away freely the good news of Jesus Christ's salvation and forgiveness in his shed blood at the cross, well, the pastor has to first receive that, doesn't he? Now, when I preach, I'm preaching not just to others, but I am preaching to myself, but it's a bit of a task there. A pastor can go in here preaching. Is there any other way that the pastor himself receives that word of law and gospel before he himself passes it on to those he is called to preach it to? We're going to be talking about private confession and absolution in the disciplined spiritual life of better preachers, part 2 of a 5-part weekly series with Pastor David Peterson. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, departmental editor for Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. David, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
We're just coming off a conversation with Dr. Martin Nolan on C.F.W. Walther. It's the year of Walther being the year, the anniversary, 200th anniversary of his birth. You have a great quote from C.F.W. Walther for our topic today. What is it?
It's from Walther's Law and Gospel under the 8th thesis, which condemns preaching the law to terrified sinners or preaching the gospel to secure sinners. And he talks about what makes successful preaching. He writes, "A preacher needs to preach the word of God in its truth and purity without any changes whatsoever. This is the first and foremost requirement for success. The second requirement for effective preaching is not only that the preacher himself would believe the things he preaches to others, but also that his heart would be full of the truths that he proclaims, so that he would enter his pulpit with the passionate desire to pour out his heart to his hearers. When a preacher proclaims what he has often experienced in his own heart, he will easily find the right words to speak convincingly to his hearers. When the hearers feel that a preacher is deadly serious, they feel drawn by an irresistible force to pay the closest attention to what the preacher is teaching in his sermon."
So what is
End
he
quote.
What's he saying there?
What he's saying is that first of all, the sermon needs to be objectively true. That's the first requirement, that the Word of God in its truth and purity without any changes whatsoever. But the second requirement for Walther is that for the preaching to be effective, the preacher must not only believe it, but he must have experienced it himself. These must be true for him. He must have often had law and gospel poured into his heart so that he's been convicted of his sins, terrified even, and then relieved of that burden by the grace and mercy of God through Jesus Christ.
So that brings us to the subject for today's conversation, which is private confession and absolution. You say that this is not only a way, but perhaps in many cases the way that not perhaps not the only way, but the primary way that a pastor hears both law and gospel. What do you mean?
Well, as you said in your intro, when you're preaching, you are the Word of God also is true for you. It's true for the preacher. But we need to hear the Word of God outside of ourselves, in someone else's voice, ideally, objectively. And so, because we're just very good at self-delusion and at lying to ourselves or hearing what we want to hear. And the Word of God is objective and is outside of us. So one of the most important things that a pastor who goes and receives this gift from God, as promised in His Word for us to use, is he hears it from someone else. That not only makes him accountable, but it also just allows him the benefit of hearing someone else say what he already knows is true. Because God does work and has given us these means on Easter evening. When he shows up in the upper room, he breathes on the disciples and he says to them, "Peace be unto you, receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven." And this objective word of Christ that he bestows, I mean, this is the first thing he does upon the resurrection, that his people would have peace, that their sins would be forgiven, so that there would be no doubt, no fear, no worry, that this is actually what God has said. So the preacher needs that, just like every Christian needs it.
Generally speaking of confession and absolution, it has come to be seen, I'm not exactly sure how, but it has come to be seen as optional. There are other means to get the same thing easier, more popular, easier to explain, or perhaps to practice, more convenient, so that private confession and absolution has come to be seen as optional in the church. Is it?
Well, no. I mean, optional. We live in such a weird category that we have to talk about these things. I mean, it's optional in the same way that holy baptism is optional and the Lord's Supper is optional, reading from the Bible is optional, prayer is optional. I mean, in some sense, we could talk about in our gospel freedom, God doesn't require these things from us. We don't go to heaven. We're not saved. God doesn't love us because we received the Holy Supper, or because we were baptized, or because we read the Bible. Rather, these are the things that God in His mercy has given to us in order to bestow faith and deliver what He has won for us on the cross. At the same time, I mean, it's just insane. It's anti-Christian to imagine saying, well, you know, God doesn't make me read the Bible in order to have faith. It's possible to have faith just because I'm baptized and because God is merciful, and therefore I'll never read the Bible again. I mean, it's not really possible. I mean, it's sort of imaginable, hypothetically, except that faith wouldn't do that, because faith loves the things that God gives and rejoices in them. And so in that sense, I mean, they're not optional. I don't even know. It's such a... I know you know what I mean, but I don't know how to express this. I struggle with this all the time. The sort of best analogy, the Walther analogy, in fact, is food. If a starving man, if you say to him, come and eat, here's a table full of food, come and receive this, the starving man doesn't receive that as law. He sees that as an invitation, and he rejoices in it because he's hungry. Luther quotes that proverb as well, hunger's the best sauce. So it's only when we imagine we don't recognize what's laid before us as food, we're starving and we don't know it, or God has placed before us this wonderful banquet and we're too stupid and stubborn to recognize it and think it's something other than what it is, and pull some sort of weird childish thing where say, oh, you can't make me eat, you know, say to God, you're not the boss of me or something. Peter Kreeft uses an analogy similarly. I may have used it on here before because I love it. If I walk up to someone on the street and say, hey, great news, we got a new heart for you. You know, we're going to take you into the emergency room, cut you open, you'll have 6 months of recovery, it's going to hurt like crazy, you can't walk, blah, blah, blah. That's not good news. You know, the only person it's good news to is the person who's dying and needs the heart. So It's weird to talk about these things in terms of option required. But certainly, God doesn't lay a law down upon us and say, you must receive the Holy Communion so many times a year, or you're not a Christian. And he doesn't, neither does he lay down upon us some sort of law that says you must go to confession and absolution so often if you're a Christian.
Pastor David Peterson is our guest. Part two of our five-part weekly series with him on better preaching, a discipline in spiritual life. Today we're talking about private confession and absolution.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes with Pastor David Peterson, part two of a five-part weekly series with him on better preaching. Today we're talking about private confession and absolution for the preacher. Pastor Peterson is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and departmental editor for Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. Before we go on, tell us a little bit about Gottesdienst, David.
Well, Gottesdienst is mainly a journal that's published four times a year for just $15. It's also a website, Gottesdienst Online, with commentary on everything, but things around Lutheranism and liturgy, and also a speakers bureau. So, all that good stuff.
Folks, you can find out more about Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to Listen on Demand. You'll find a link right there. One of the things you say about confession and absolution for the pastor, and this is very important even if we weren't talking about preaching, even though we are, it teaches the pastor humility, you say. It teaches him sorrow, fear, and dependence. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, it's a very humiliating thing and a painful thing, admittedly, to go and to make confession and to lay your soul bare in front of another human being. Whom God has placed into this great high office, but who nonetheless we know is fallible, sinful person. And there certainly is some risk involved, because even though this person has promised under oath and under threat of hell that he will never divulge the sins confessed to him, we know full well that this person has broken a lot of promises. So there is something very humbling and scary about submitting to that and to say, you know what, even if he does break this promise, the absolution is still valid, and that's why I'm coming. And this is what God has given me and where he's promised to be for me and to receive this. And to recognize our dependence upon fallible, sinful human beings that God has placed into office over us is a very good and necessary thing. But as you say, especially for those who would dare to preach, because if you're going to stand up in the pulpit with authority and preach, then you have to recognize, or you ought to recognize, what you're asking of your hearers. I mean, I know I'm sure you've felt this many times yourself. I mean, I'm always a little bit, I feel like I could fake it with a lot of my members, but the problem is my wife is always there,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, I mean, I think by being a penitent, it helps us remember that it's a little bit scary to be placed under the care of a sinful human being.
Then what does it do for a pastor when he hears confession? Many people fear, and I think it's completely natural for people to fear that if pastor hears my confession privately, if I say what it is I have thought or said or done, I'm disgusted with myself. He's going to be disgusted with me.
Well, I think this is the completely counterintuitive, unexpected, but actually what happens is when we dare to confess our sins to this human being that's been placed into this, he in fact will feel the burden of his office very deeply, and it just never disgusts the confessor because we think our sins are so unique and unusual and terrible, and to some degree they are, but at the same time they're not at all, because there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing has befallen you that is not common to man. And in fact, the confessor himself is guilty of, and he knows it, of everything you're confessing. What actually happens is the pastor who hears confession doesn't grow disgusted, but develops great sympathy for the person and compassion, because he understands better and recognizes the person's spiritual struggle and respects it. Because what could be a more honorable thing in the Church of Jesus Christ than to confess, than to repent, than to throw yourself fully upon the mercy promised in the gospel, that we can't save ourselves, that we're going to live by faith alone, that Jesus Christ is our hope and our salvation.
Why should a pastor, toward the end of good preaching, toward the end of being a good pastor, really, not only schedule times, regular times, to hear confession, but also to have his confession heard by his father confessor?
Well, the problem is if we don't schedule times to go and make confession, the problem is we'll wait until sort of we feel full of enough sin that makes it worth the trip. And that's a dangerous game to play. It's a lack of discipline. And really what I'm urging people towards, preachers particularly, is a disciplined spiritual life, not a haphazard one, not praying when I sort of feel like it and the Spirit moves me, but recognizing that I need this outside discipline that says it's time to pray and here's things I need to pray for. That's in no way to say we avoid spontaneous prayer. In the same way with confession and absolution, if in fact a man feels burdened, particularly with some sin, then he should call his confessor immediately and make an appointment and go. But barring that, there ought to be regular scheduled times, just like we come to church on Sundays, just like we do these other things, because otherwise it's just way too easy to avoid and to wait, or to get into sort of this charismatic idea that when I'm full of sin, then I'll go. We're full of sin, it's time to go. In the same way, within the parish, the pastor as confessor now for his own people, even if no one comes, it's a very good and healthy thing for him and for the congregation if he publishes times when he will be available explicitly for confession. I think it's ideal to actually sit in the church and wait for people to come for whatever, half hour, 45 minutes, Saturday morning, 9 to 10, and just sit there and read and wait, even if no one comes, because it holds it in front of the congregation in publicly as, this is the life of the church. There's no shame in coming. This isn't for people that are worse sinners than others. This is what God has given, and even if you don't avail yourself of it, this is what I've been called to give you, and I'm going to try to provide it and be available for who wants it. Of course, in the same way, all pastors are available at any time by a phone call. Pastor, something terrible has happened. I need to confess right away. But we should make both things available, So it's just, again, part of this external discipline and recognizing this is the normal life of the church, not simply an unusual, extraordinary thing.
A word, if you would, of pastoral concern and warning as our time winds down. What can become of a preacher, as good as he is, as greatly as he desires to be faithful to God's word, if he neglects regular confession of his sins and absolution?
Well, he could, of course. I mean, the danger and the threat always is a weakness of faith and even the death of faith, to not make full use of all of the gifts of that God has given us. I mean, what would we say of a preacher who doesn't receive the Holy Communion? I mean, is that good enough? That's not what God has given us for our life together. It's we need all the things that God provides, the full counsel of His Word, all of these things. And a preacher who simply neglects one of them, the other problem with particularly with preachers in our church body is that I don't know, you can't teach the small catechism if you're not receiving the benefits of absolution without being a hypocrite. And you most certainly cannot hear someone else's confession if you yourself are not a penitent. So preachers that neglect this have an ethical dilemma, but of course the more serious one is their own spiritual, their faith.
Pastor David Peterson is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and departmental editor for Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. Dave, thanks for being our guest, and thanks to Redeemer Lutheran Church there in Fort Wayne for being a congregational sponsor in the Issues Etc. 300. I know that you're very enthusiastic about that.
Yes, we are. We love Issues Etc. Thanks, Todd.
Do you actually have that sign that you sent a picture of to us out by your church being a part of the Issues Etc. 300?
Yeah, we do. In fact, I've got a photograph of me standing next to it that I'm supposed to email to you, but I just have been too lazy.
Here's your reminder. Please email it to us. We'll put it up on our Facebook fan page. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd.
Well, that's just one congregation of many, a growing group of congregations. In fact, I just went through the list again because I have just completed the Issues Etc. journal that has the list of Issues Etc. 300 congregations in the back and links to them and all their contact information. A growing list of congregations that support Issues Etc. to the tune of $1,000 or more in their mission or advertising budget. We call them the Issues Etc. 300. Find out how your congregation, too, can join. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. There's a one-page flyer that has everything you need to know about the Issues Etc. 300. Download it, print it off, take it to your pastor, take it to your congregational leaders, take it to the next congregational meeting when they're planning budget issues and ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc., a busy hour two for us. We're going to be beginning with the sermon review, a brief sermon review, because the sermon is brief, just a little over 6 minutes long. Why? Well, it's a wedding sermon that I had the privilege of hearing firsthand on Saturday from the mouth of my own senior pastor, Pastor Michael Cum of Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois. It was short, it was sweet, and the sweetness was in the gospel itself. Not your typical wedding sermon, I will warn you. We'll be reviewing it in the first 10 minutes of Issues Etc. here in the second hour on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 11th. Then Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will join us. We're going to talk about lawsuits that the Episcopal Church USA is filing against pastors, congregations, whole dioceses who are seeking to leave that church body. Then open lines. Do you agree with the statement made by Pastor Robert Jeffress this weekend that Mormonism is a cult? We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.